Negro literature has always, let's say, been in America, social response, which finally I think the best of any kind of literature is. Let's say social response either in the sense of, say, the middle class writer refusing to acknowledge his blackness and say, not even talking about social, qua social things, but making a skip to some other, say, neutral territory in which he can exist as anybody, which is impossible. So that the American Negro, say 1940, let's say bebop musicians, realize that just by being black in America, one is a nonconformist. You don't have to get weird, or you don't have to act weird. That is, by simply being a black man in a country where black is a liability, you are a committed nonconformist. So that one makes use of that nonconformity as a natural fact of one's life rather than, say, as a program. So I can talk about my life and someone will say, that's weird. But indeed, in the context of America, it is weird. So you have a choice of cultivating, on the one hand, cultivating a mask that is making believe I am actually like you, so that a man can ask you, well, in 20 years, or tell you in 20 years, American is going to be president of the United States. But then I ask myself, who am still a young Negro, I ask myself, but who would want to be the president of the United States? Who would want to be, say, known as an international murderer? I mean, that's a dubious distinction. So here we come to say, well, what are your influences then? If you refuse, say, to be taken in, you know, by what goes down and around as being the most admirable qualities of American culture. That is, say, if a man will nominate Leonard Bernstein for, say, the Pulitzer Prize and not even understand that the finest composer America has produced was Duke Ellington, to not even understand that, to say Virgil Thompson as some possible great composer and not even understand who Duke Ellington was. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. But that is what we are labeled as, not having contributed anything. So a man says, what has been the Negro's contribution to American culture? What has it been? So you think about that. What has it been? We've lived here, which is what everyone else has done. And we have memories of our particular and specific way of living here. And that is valuable as statement about not only this place, but the nature of the world. And when I say social art, I mean not only art that is art in anyone's definition, but an art that will tell you how man lived, or say at least how he wanted to live. As far as that goes then, joining the mainstream, being, say, in Ebony Magazine's Speaking of People column as having made some microcosmic, quote, progress into what? Into maybe, as the man said, a burning building. But then finally it comes to the idiocy of, perhaps, of one day a Negro being in Ebony Magazine for being the first Negro to drop an atomic bomb on some people. It goes to that kind of accomplishment, so that finally the man says the Negro has to be twice as good to get ahead. So that means then finally, are we to drop two bombs instead of one? The souls of black folk, let's say, Du Bois, and let's say Fine Clothes for the Jew, talk about two different places in America, two different places in the emotional history of America, both, say, equally valid by virtue of the precision of the telling, nothing else, the precision of the telling, by demonstrating exactly what it is you feel, by showing it, rather than, say, elaborating in some didactic but finally non-instructive way. That is, by demonstrating, which is what art is supposed to do. So that I usually think of the Harlem writers and, say, Gene Toomer, not in the same term, but because Gene Toomer, say, separated himself as an intellectual, let's say, with the same term as a middle-class intellectual, whether as mystic, which is the hardcore of Negro culture, mysticism, because the spirit was always valuable, that more valuable than things for the Negroes, because they never had any things. So that the spirit was always valuable, and so that the religious core of Negro culture still, say, is present, even, let's say, in Thelonious Monk or Ornette Coleman. They are trying to get at something that is finally spiritual and has to do, say, with you being capable of transmitting spirit rather than, saying, writing a biography which might be useful for you to get a job or, say, something like that. So the Negro focusing on himself as an equal, let's say, person, but that person being a receptacle, a receptor, a receiver of all emotion, just as any other person. So that you talk about where you are and who you are and say what that place has made you. The, say, future, the way they say that, Negro writers in the future. If you think of, say, Wright, Richard Wright, and Toomer, and Hughes, and Ellison, and Baldwin, and Chester Himes, if you think of those people, you have, say, in just those few years, a top-level performance in each of those areas that they set out to do. That is the most meaningful book of social essays in the last decade, is Notes of a Native Son. The most finely constructed archetypal, mythological novel utilizing, say, Kafka's sense of what the world could be is The Invisible Man. The most completely valid social novel and social criticisms of South and North, non-urban and urban Negro life, Black Boy and Native Son. It's all there. Even, say, finally to detective fiction, when we have Chandler and Hammett, but, say, Chester Himes All Shot Up, or The Crazy Kill, or The Real Cool Killers, finally much more interesting, because not only about plot, but also about a place wherein such plot can take a natural existence. So that the Negro writer finally doesn't have to think about his roots, even literarily, as being subject to some kind of derogatory statement. One has only to read the literature. That is, for instance, it is impossible to understand the Civil War or the Reconstruction period without reading Du Bois, Black Reconstruction. It is impossible to understand, say, the temperament of middle-class Negroes without reading E. Franklin Frazier's Black Bourgeoisie. It is impossible in this sense. So that even, say, listening to the Beatles, one knows that that's not possible without Chuck Berry or the Coasters, and it's very amusing that you can turn on, say, Ed Sullivan and see the Beatles, but you would never see Chuck Berry or the Coasters. So behind this culture, in every, say, legitimate thrust they make towards meaning, there is the Black experience. If a factory goes up, one of those hands that touch that steel been Black, and they know what that means, even separately from, say, the other men who are doing it, because they know it both ways. So it becomes valuable for the Black man to realize that he exists and is as valid as any other thing. Because this musician, Albert Eiler, told me, everything is everything. That is, there is nothing more valuable than anything else. It's just its function that makes it, say, more clear or more powerful. Or, say, with a writer, it's how he has that information function that makes it useful. So if I say, if Eliot, T.S. Eliot says something about the essential strength of language as image, I take it to mean me. If Pound says something about image as emotional and intellectual complex, I take it to mean me. If Apollinaire says something about space-time relationships of sense, drama, and philosophical abstracts as reality, for instance, Christ as an airplane pilot, I take it to mean me, something I can use, where I am, say, in my ghetto or outside of that ghetto, but say available as, say, air is or light is, it's there. If you think about Irish literature, say, from Wilde's time, and if you think of Wilde, Shaw, Yeats, Joyce, Synge, O'Casey, Beckett, you think about those people are Irish, they're not English. And those men have been the strength of English literature now for a long time. So I see now that same role being handed to the Negro, and as, say, the communication, which makes this the 20th century, the speed of communication. But as I say something, somebody will find out about it maybe tomorrow instead of in 1970, so that it becomes possible for writers to come from any place, young Negroes, old Negroes, as simply anonymous writers, but talking about specific experiences which are informed by the place where they are and by what this place has made them. The world becomes as wide as it is because there's nothing here anyway except what you see or want. And I think that consciousness can be public. So now the young writer, the young middle-class Negro writer is running, say, from the same America, in a sense that the young white writer who will admit that is writing from. I mean, even if that America is disguised as, say, some black professor who's embarrassed by watermelons, it's still America. Not, say, just that experience, it's what America has made him. And, say, the writers in the ghetto will write about that. The Negroes who have, say, find themselves as, say, middle-class people outside of the ghetto will go where art is and try to do it that way. So the expression and the experience is available wherever you are. All you have to do is, like the man said, tell it exactly as it is.